Margaret Magnarelli.
Hello, Mark Masters.
So, right, this marketeer to marketeer.
Or marketer to marketer.
That's becoming a bit too British, isn't it? It's
yeah.
like picking up on. So, because, right, you're one of my favourites when it comes to the marketing, content marketing space, these people are that are not aware of what you do, why have I come to regard you in such high esteem?
Oh my goodness. I have to tell you why you've come to
and
regard me.
What you do and what you do.
What do I do? I head up content marketing at monster.com, and I've worked there for 2 years, and I'm in charge of the strategy on B2B and B2C content marketing. Before that, I was a journalist in magazine and web journalism, most recently executive editor at Money Magazine and Money.com, and previously other magazines as well. And I bring that perspective to my work as a content marketer in creating stories and story-forward content marketing. And you, this is by the way, our anniversary. This is our friendiversary, because we met here last year. So tell our audience what it is that you do.
I'm very glad you asked. So I have a, well, I should use this now just to sell. I decided to start going big time. This is the Instagram account. So I have a company, but that's irrelevant. But what I totally believe in is how companies or how people can build an audience and nurture this in a space that they own, right? And so everything that I discuss, talk about, is to show people how all this works, because things are changing. But small businesses and businesses in general can have a point of view, find an audience, and deliver it in order to be heard. Because with all the noise and everything else that's happening, it's become an even more, it resonates even more, you know, when you talk with your journalism background and everything else, the importance of this area of story. So I'm going to ask you a question now, because that's made me think. It's like,
okay, it's working.
What? The importance of story. You being a journalist and not necessarily being a marketeer, mm-hmm. yeah? How has the importance of, I know it's an age-old thing, but from when you talk to a journalist, what is the importance of being able to tell a story and how easy that is to apply within our businesses?
I mean, that's...
So I start with an easy question first. How important is it to tell a story?
It is the most important thing. I mean, I think it's crucial that you're telling a story and that you are creating engagement with an audience. And I really think probably 70% of the most effective content marketing, in my mind, is content marketing that is utility-focused, because you're serving a customer's needs. And it may not be directly related to your product area, but being able to tell that story, and there are different ways of telling a story. You can humanize the story and tell it through people. You can turn it into advice. You can contextualize what the user's problem is and how it fits in among their peer groups and among the industry. You can personalize the problem. You can help your users to benchmark information. I think there are many different ways to tell a story, but the most important thing is that you need a messaging framework for your brand, and you need to start from a perspective that is what is your ultimate hope of what you want your audience to walk away with.
I'm finding my flow with this, right? So mm-hmm. Havas, big agency, did their meaningful brand survey, and it came out in February this year. And when you talk about, you say something as well that resonates and all these different angles as well. So they did a survey, it's 300,000 people. Look at this, like I've prepped.
Mm-hmm.
So there was 300,000 people, and 60% had said, brands today, there is no connection. So there's no connection. So the majority of messages that are put in front of them, there's no connection. Mm-hmm. Again, it's just selling a product. Mm-hmm. So it's just picking up on, when you say, look, there's so many different facets to telling a story,
uh-huh.
but you've got to understand who your audience, who you're talking to.
Yeah.
You're obviously a big believer in this whole thing of data.
Mm-hmm.
So how does the whole data thing come to, it was flowing.
Yeah, this is vibing.
It's the second nature.
I think there are two things. I think one is, and I know you don't like the human to human thing, and maybe we should talk about that after too, but I think one piece of things is empathy. So I think empathy across all of your buyer journey is really important to be able to understand what your your target customer is going through, and to be able to create content that is an antidote to their emotional processes in those moments, and to try to limit and reduce the valence, the volatility of emotions that your audience is dealing with. That's how you can, that's what friends do for you, right? It's like they help you through the hard times, and you rely on them and you trust them when you need them. And I think brands can do the same thing. So I think one piece of it is that, and one piece of it is data and science, and being able to provide validation to what you're saying. So this is something that is really important to me from being a journalist. Whenever you tell a story, when you start with your nut graph of the story, your lead of the story, which is the first paragraph, or it's a couple paragraphs down in a feature story, it's the paragraph that tells you what is this story about. And my ideal nut graph, it sets a couple of sentences of context of setting the scene, and then you make your argument in a sentence, and then you've got a sentence with a piece of data, and you've got a sentence with a quote. And that information backs up your argument. And I think if you are telling a story without data, then you're making empty claims. It's like you know, there's nothing for you to fall back on. And if you've got data without a story, then you've got meaningless numbers. And so I really think you have to pair those two things together, but also pairing it with that empathy that I was talking about.
Because I guess we see that from a lot of people when you take this data, fact, or whatever it is, because now we're in a space where all of us are saying, I believe. So we're all just jumping into the space and telling everybody what we believe. So I guess but from your side is we're saying, no, let's validate all this stuff, because then it becomes easier for people to buy in, to kind of give the thumbs up and to let companies progress.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think that validation is maybe necessary for the person who's on that front end of your marketing, but then there's also somebody who's on the front line, but then there's the person who's on the next line, who's like the VP or the boss that they need to get approval from. Yeah. And like having that stat or that data helps them make that case too, as well. So I want to talk, now it's my turn to ask you questions. So we talked a little bit about earlier the human to human, and you have some concerns with that. So talk to me about that.
I think it's too twee. I think that a lot of us find these, it's almost like a safety blanket, yeah? So if you're a marketeer, listen, if this is the whole marketeer to marketeer thing,
marketer, it's something in
proof's in the pudding what we're talking about, Margaret. So this whole human to human thing is that it becomes too, it kind of becomes too easy. When we tell somebody how to behave, right? When we understand that human behavior and everything else is what makes us tick. But if there is a way of linking what we're both talking about, is when we have data and we have fact that can back all this up, rather than people, you know, as I've said, rather than thinking that we can all walk around and how we swallowed start with why, the whole Simon Sinek, how we need to have a purpose, it becomes quite easy to how we jump into this little ring, this little bubble that tells everybody to behave, and this whole human to human aspect, what I'm thinking now is let's show the proof. Let's show how this is working. Let's see what goes wrong. We can't think we live in this altruistic world where everything it goes along as it's planned, because it doesn't.
Yeah.
And there's people that we don't get on with, although there's people that there is no connection. But it's all about finding those people that we can connect with on a far deeper basis. And that's how it builds. It's just, I like the idea of how we can pull things out. This is how this behaves here. Here's a stat here. Rather than, sometimes I think we get a bit too led astray by using almost buzzwords. It's a bit like how we see on LinkedIn how someone's privileged or over the moon or humbled that they have 5,000 followers. I see that we jump onto this little, not gravy train, but we jump onto this little train journey that it almost becomes something that you have to be part of. Was let's kind of look at the behavior and how we do impact one another, but bank that up via data that you say, and also those people within our marketplace behave, rather than trying to be everybody's friend.
Yeah, let me ask you a question about that though. I feel like in our content marketing climate right now, and in the marketing climate in general, everybody's all on about personas and journey-based marketing. Sometimes I fear that oversimplifies like the human experience, and like we've taken human experience down to like we have four like people and this is what Maria does. And it, and human experience is so much more varied than that. And you know, we see from a job seeking perspective, like people can come to job seeking for so many different reasons. I mean, some of it may be they, you know, feel like they are not getting what they deserve in their workplace. They may have a toxic work environment. The commute may be miserable. They may just want to change. They may be looking for advancement. Do you agree that we're oversimplifying? And if so, is there a solution for this? Yeah. Because in a way, it seems like it is marketers trying to provide a framework for themselves. But what is the alternative?
That's a good one.
Sorry, I didn't prepare you for that.
Start off as a jovial what you do, as now I'm turning into
fix the world's problems.
Can you give me half an hour? I'll come back to it. I've written this down. We need something to build upon. Yeah, when we have this, whatever thing is called. But I just think that we do need to look deeper at the wider goal, because when we talk about personas, and I understand when it comes to recruitment, I understand that there's so many different people. But again, at the same time, there's so much out there that's vying for somebody's attention. So it just does. There are so many different elements and characters and the way that the shapes and everything else that puts us all together that is so different. So it has to come from the message that we curate, create, and distribute. Mm. Rather than thinking you gotta start with your passion, you gotta start with your soul, but where does that take you? Mm-hmm, just because you say, you know, you've got to kind of come from the heart and shoot from the heart and just have this kind of real purpose and soul to it. But it has to be backed up, it has to be consistent. You know, mm-hmm. It's like on your side, isn't it? I mean, you do the content that you create. How many bits of work do you content? How many published pieces of work are out there a month from your side?
We're creating about probably 10 a week on the B2C side, and we're more campaign oriented on the B2B side, but still a couple per week. Yeah.
But here's the other thing as well. As long as that stuff aligns, mm-hmm. the stuff that we create, so if you say, look, 500 or so pieces, however much a month, I'm seeing that this is the important thing I'm seeing where we're all going now, is that as long as everything aligns to that stuff that we mm-hmm. believe in, because I'm going to pick up on what you do at Monster.
This has become aggressive now.
No, it's planned.
Okay.
It's like a scheduled. So, for instance, I'm backing this up with what you say from Monster, is how you bring humanity mm-hmm. to the whole job seeking process. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so then that aligns itself with every piece of content, because that mm-hmm. allows direction. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole thing at the end of the day, that's so important, is so we don't steer, we don't veer. You don't start talking about what you should be doing at a weekend or whatever, or what colored tie to wear for an interview.
Yeah.
It all comes back to this crux of the DNA of what we're all about, which then comes full circle. The thing is, rather than saying the whole happy, clappy, human to human thing, the world's a brilliant place, it's no, let's cut through all that. Well, listen, we're all here still to make money and everything else, and from your side, mm-hmm.
I think if you have a messaging framework, like for us, it is like bringing humanity to the job search process, helping people through what is a stressful time. It also gives you the ability to prioritize and make decisions. And that I think can be hard from a marketing perspective. There's so many stories. You could boil the ocean of stories, right? And I think knowing what you stand for and what everything has to ladder up to it helps me, like as we have our brainstorming meetings for our team, to say like, yeah, that's a good idea, but like it's not us, or that sounds like something that our competitors would do. How do we make this more Monster, and how do we imbue more feeling into this about like, you know, the empathy of the audience and showing how we understand what they're going through, and I think that's the really good thing about having somebody at a strategist level who's at a high enough level, which I think is a weakness that a lot of companies face. They don't bring in a storyteller at a high enough level who can say, this is the framework we want to follow from a broad marketing perspective, and not simply just from a content marketing perspective, but like in every communication we do, it's all communication, it's all stories, and it all has to align.
Do you get feedback then? There's the another one, Bosch. Marketo have just released a report that was saying within the US and UK, So marketeers and brands are just totally getting it wrong because it is all transactional based mm-hmm. rather than understanding the consumer. So a simple question, do people get in touch? Do the stuff, do you have that? So if you put something out there,
do we get people responding?
Yeah, because when we talk about engagement and going deeper with something rather than measuring numbers,
is the response. Somebody,
is their response to
it? Yeah, I mean, so we did a series about a year ago that was a 13-part series of a woman who'd been laid off, and she was a creative director based in New York, and she wrote about a chronology of the experience of having been laid off and then getting a new job, and she was extremely raw in her honesty, like really talking about how she had previously had bouts of depression, and she was very worried that she was going to slip into that again with this layoff, and how she was, you know, going to see her psychiatrist to get medication, and sort of the pre-anxiety of anxiety, but it was also very funny. Like the whole series started with her getting the pink slip, and then, you know, crying into a hot dog in Times Square when it happened, you know, but laughing at herself in the same moment. And she was a beautiful writer, and it was a beautiful series. And she got tremendous response from people who were in the same boat or who had been in the same boat recently. And I think that's really important, is creating, again, when you see the empathy working, you see the response, like, you hear me, you understand me, I'm going through this too.
Because that's an important thing, is how we are shoulder to shoulder with one another. Mm-hmm. And I see that's even more important today, is how we wear the shoes of somebody else rather than dictating how someone else behaves. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's where it gets murky as a marketeer, because we're explaining how we think personas and how we think people should behave. Mm-hmm. Whereas if we understand, and when you talk about, well, you know, that's the point I was trying to highlight, you know, somebody got in touch and explained how it all works, because then we can get on a level mm-hmm. where we are one-to-one. And isn't that what this is all about? Look at that, as marketeers, is how, when you talk about empathy and understanding and everything else, we're doing it in a real world.
Yeah.
Why?
NetLine empowers you to create, manage, and optimize your own campaigns using the NetLine Portal, a self-service solution for B2B marketers. Create campaigns in minutes by uploading your content, setting lead criteria, and your budget. Manage multiple campaigns with your dashboard and receive real-time lead data and advanced campaign insights. Optimize your strategy at any time. You're in control. Get started by creating your free account today or request a demo.
So we had a podcast for about a year, and we're still trying to grow audience, and I think it's a really cool medium. And I know you do this too, and I'd really like to hear your advice about how you engage with people through podcasting as a medium.
It's a brilliant medium. To me, it's helped, but when you say it is hard, so it started the podcast in 2015, so it's taken 2 years to get to a point where you become comfortable. When you say comfortable, you know, in terms of how we present and how we talk now, but it's not full of ums, well, listen, I hope the edited version, it's not full of ums, ahs, and stutters. But it is such a difficult... When it works, it's brilliant, mm-hmm. right? But if I was part of a big organization and I had to show after 2-3 months figures, everything else, if that's what we're judged by, it would have been shelved. Mm-hmm. But we've always seen in the past, I was seeing Baywatch after its first round from 89 to 1999. And I'm using a highbrow example
wow,
here
nice,
for you know, content marketing world. So Baywatch was going to be shelved after its first series. Mm-hmm. I was kind of looking deep. Same with Seinfeld. Seinfeld was about to be dropped after its first series. But it's this thing where the whole persistence and, again, an alignment and having something to say that you believe in mm-hmm. and that you start to lean in a bit more, mm-hmm. then that starts to build the momentum. This year, for instance, it's been two people doing it, me and a chap called Ian Rhodes from England. Ian left. So Ian left in June, didn't want to do it anymore because he'd become busy. He'd become busy where his business was taking him, wasn't where the podcast was going. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about creating content that resonates, you have to understand that you have to make sacrifices to make something work. So the show is still continuing, but the viewing figures are increasing. But that is all because of kind of what I, the way that I look at it, is because it has managed to build an audience and you've kept with it. Mm-hmm. So when it say it comes out every Friday morning, mm-hmm. it's every Friday mm-hmm. morning. And so I'm keeping, so the people that listen, I'm keeping a little point in their calendar or when iTunes downloads it. Mm-hmm. Because again, it is one of those things of where we play the long game. It takes so much time to get right. We can spend a lot of time on equipment and everything else, but as long as the content isn't right, and here's the other thing as well, you have to create something as well that we sometimes miss that has to entertain, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So even though I mm-hmm. sing and whatever yeah. and mess about, it's always done with a serious way in terms of you want someone to, if I've captured them for the first 15 seconds, you want them there for another 15 seconds. And it's such a hard thing to, it is very hard to get right. But when you do get it right is when you get people listening or people that comment, and then that leads to this much more deeper connection and engagement with somebody else, you really start to enjoy what you're doing. And I love it. It's a brilliant medium, and it's one thing that I would wholly recommend to everybody else.
I think it's interesting because you own a company that does content marketing for small companies, but you also do a content marketing on the side for this networking group that you started yeah, yeah. called You Are the Media. And it's like you have basically content marketed your way to a growing audience and community of content marketers. And you talked about how you started this in 2000 and have grown it and are now at the point where you're thinking about hosting your own conference. And can you talk about like how you've built an yeah. audience for something over yeah. that time?
So it started, if there was a timeline properly, was writing an email every Thursday morning since 2012. Called You Are the Media, and have did it every week. Again, it starts off with nobody. Mm-hmm. Starts off with mm-hmm. no one. We create our landing pages and everything else. But over time, is this whole thing of persistence and commitment yeah. to something. So that enabled me to, sorry, I'm plugging my own stuff now. Good question. Content Revolution came out in 2015.
Like an
amalgamation of everything I'd learned. To then became last year of creating almost the live blog. So the You Are the Media become the lunch club. Mm-hmm. And then what's happening in 2018, I'm so glad you mentioned it, becomes the You Are the Media conference. Mm-hmm. So again, you have this thing that takes time, but you find something that aligns. Mm-hmm. Because at the moment, the podcast doesn't align with everything. Mm-hmm. There's this whole You Are the Media brand that I've almost stumbled across that has managed to build an audience off the back of it. But there's a podcast as well. Mm-hmm. But I'm now seeing all I need to do is change this thing that's called Marketing Homebrew uh-huh. and change the podcast called You Are the Media Podcast.
Look at that. Ideas are born right here.
Woo! But it's how all this stuff connects in this big jigsaw puzzle. Mm-hmm. And that's the same for all of us.
Yeah.
Isn't it? I guess from recruitment and everything else.
Yeah.
It's how we have this baked bean jigsaw. You have baked beans in America.
Yeah. Yes.
How we have this big baked bean jigsaw puzzle and how we piece it together. But we're always trying to fit new bits together. And it's instead of the 1,000 pieces, it's the 10,000 piece. It just takes time and dedication to get it right. But it just has to all connect. Because then that makes it easy for someone else to say, I get that. I'm mm-hmm. going to come back, I'm going to read, I'm going to watch, I'm going to listen. Marketed to marketeer, what a fantastic initiative.
But the baked bean jigsaw puzzle is still getting me. I'm trying to imagine what that looks like. Baked beans and a jigsaw puzzle.
When you reach a certain age.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.